Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting a winter planning meeting on Monday, January 20th at the Best Western Hotel and Conference Center in Lafayette, Indiana. Registration begins at 5 with dinner served at 5:30. RSVP to 866-837-9027.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. U.S. consumer prices rose last month by the most since June, driven up by higher gasoline prices. The Labor Department says the consumer price index rose a seasonally adjusted 0.3% in December. Prices increased 1.5% in 2013. It's down from 1.7% in 2012 and well below the Federal Reserve's target of 2%. Gas prices jumped 3.1% in December. That's the biggest gain since June. Food prices ticked up 0.1%. Farm Credit Services today says that prices of top quality farm land in the northern U.S. Midwest and Plains stayed firm in 2013, but there were clear signs the market for average quality crop and grazing land was leveling off. In top corn and soybean producer Iowa, benchmark farmland values finished up 3.4% for the calendar year 2013, but that was after falling 2.8% in the last 6 months of the year. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending January the 9th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 11.8. Next year, 3.0. Corn this year, 32.3. Next year, 0. Soybeans this year, 25.8. And next year, 19.3. Also this morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 465,500 metric tons of soybeans to China. Of that number, 60,000 is for delivery during the current marketing year, and 405,500 tons is for delivery during the 14-15 marketing year. Also this morning, we get the cancellation of 126,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 13 and 14 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 16,357, is down 51 points. The NASDAQ, 3597, is down 1.25. And the S&P 500 is 1837. It's down 3.75 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are going to be closely monitored, especially next week, as another upper-level low-pressure system of deep intensity develops across the Hudson Bay. That will likely start surges of cold air back moving across the big part of eastern and central portions of North America, including a big part of the U.S., raising supplemental heating fuel demand and also stressing some of the livestock and perhaps even threatening some of the wheat crop that might not be adequately covered in snow by that point in time. The changes coming up have been long advertised by the trend model, and we do still believe that the change will transition as anticipated. Although if you're looking at the latest GFS model run this morning, it is probably overdone as far as the amount of cold air suggested for the eastern part of the U.S. If you were to buy into that particular forecast model, there would be freezes of significance down into Florida and most of the Gulf Coastal region. I'm not saying that that can't happen. I'm just saying that it probably won't. We'll keep a close eye on that. In the meantime, across the heart of the Midwest, we will continue to see waves of precipitation moving across the region in a light manner as we go forward through this next week. The majority of the precipitation is not going to be very disruptive to commerce across the region, but we do have a deep low pressure center present in the upper Midwest this morning that has produced blizzard and near blizzard conditions across portions of eastern North Dakota and Minnesota today, and also in parts of South Dakota. The storm had its origination in Canada across the prairies yesterday, and gusts of wind occurred up over 80 miles per hour in some of that region. And across portions of the northern plains this morning, we've seen gusts over 70 miles per hour. The visibilities in the snow will likely drop near zero across portions of Minnesota and the eastern Dakotas today, but the rest of the Midwest will not see nearly the wind from this particular storm. It will still snow, though, across the Great Lakes region and southward to the Ohio River, and most of these areas will probably pick up on 1 to 2 and some local 3-inch amounts of accumulation. Most of the greatest amount of snow will occur downwind from Lake Michigan. We'll watch the storm system closely. It's going to be a little slow moving out of the region. There's a fairly good chance that we'll still have some snow occurring tomorrow across the Great Lakes area and maybe in a few eastern Midwest locations. In the meantime, another low-pressure system associated with some warmer air will come racing into the northwestern portions of the region as we go through the afternoon tomorrow and into Saturday morning. This storm system will produce another band of significant snowfall coming across northwest through southeastern portions of Minnesota into Wisconsin and ultimately down to Ohio. And we'll likely see some local totals of 2 to 4 inches perhaps occurring with this disturbance, although it will be fast moving to help minimize some of the impact. The temperatures across the region over this next several day period will still be somewhat pleasant, but we'll be seeing at least a few short-term bouts of extreme cold. Looks like the coldest weather will probably occur next Tuesday morning when we'll likely see some lows in the upper Midwest in the negative teens and negative 20s. This will be mostly the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We could see some near 0 degree readings down into parts of central Iowa and northwestern portions of Illinois at that time. In the meantime, we'll have a fairly chilly day tomorrow across the upper parts of the Midwest. The very same region I just described will have some low temperatures in the negative teens and negative single digit readings. We won't see the temperatures much cooler than positive single digits this time around across portions of Iowa and Illinois. A lot of teens and 20s will occur tomorrow morning across a big part of the Midwest. And Florida will likely see some 30-degree lows tomorrow as well. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red May wheat, 619 up 1.5. July, 616, now 617 up 1.5. May wheat, the soft, 573 down 1.75. July, 579.5 down 1.75. March corn, 427.75 up 2. July, 442.25 up 1.75. December, 452.75 up 1.5. March soybeans, 13.19 up 1. July, 1282.75 up 1.5. November, 1121.75 up 3.75. March soybean meal, 435.70 up 120. March soybean oil, 37.80 down 19 cents, now 20. February live cattle, 140.55 up 112.5. January feeders are 169.65. They're up 25. February lean hogs, 86.75, and they are up 15. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Spreading has been a big feature this week, and it looks like it's continuing.
Yeah, it is. I think one of the more interesting spreads this morning, however, is the bear spreading we're seeing in the beans, and that usually comes at the end of a little move. On the bean side, we were looking for a minor high in the market today, and looks to me like we're going to get that with the amount of bear spreading we have. That July-November bean spread that had been out almost to $1.60 inverse is back in a little bit.
Mm. Also, it looks to me like, based on the export sales that we're seeing, and we had a big, impressive new crop number, that we're going to end up front-loading this thing again before harvest.
Yeah, we probably are, and I think that's a let's-cover-our-rear-ends type of a buy, because China will go wherever it can get its beans shipped and also bought at a reasonable price, and right now we're the best logistics situation, and it looks like that may continue well into 2014.
Is March 1339 a juicy target?
Everybody wants to talk about 1339 because that would cover up where January went off the board. I'm not in the camp that thinks that that entire thing has to be filled right here today.
Let's go ahead and talk about corn. What do you see there?
The market has seen cash selling dry up, so when the board works lower as it has been, then the basis improves, and when the board rallies, then the basis backs off a little bit. It seems to me that March corn still locked into a sideways with the resistance area shy of that 440 and really good support down around 410.
Turn your attention to wheat, please.
The wheat market has been just beat up by a large world supply, and talk about the market is just flush with wheat. Egypt is tendering today for some wheat. However, recently hasn't taken much of that from the U.S. This wheat market seems to want to continue to drift lower.
And very quickly on the livestock, you got 20 seconds, but boy, it has go this week.
Yeah, it has, particularly driven up by the Fed cattle market, new contract highs there in cattle, cash frenzy, $1.42 paid in the Southern Plains yesterday. Hogs are just kind of bounced around for the ride.
Thank you much, Ellen. That is Ellen Dearden, and she is with AgReview out of Morton, Illinois. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.